And now we begin counting down the days until we get an answer from the jury. It's going to be a tough few days ahead, I reckon. With this wait, it's going to be a long wait. These next few days are going to feel like a few years, I'd imagine. You're listening to the Virginia Truth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Virginia Truth with me, Knackle. Thank you once again for joining me. And well, the waiting begins. The waiting begins for the jury verdict, which we will get next week sometime, maybe Tuesday, possibly. Could even go to Wednesday, hopefully not Thursday. That's pushing it. And I think we're already anxious, a lot of us. We're all nervous. But yeah, how have you guys felt today? How does it feel knowing that the case is done and now we're just waiting for a result? How does it feel? Because I feel nervous. I do. I can't lie. Like, I thought that once the trial would be over, I would be able to zone out a little bit and not be as invested, because I'm sure we're all very invested in this trial for a multitude of reasons. I mean, some people suggest that, oh, it's just a celebrity trial. It's just some boring old celebrity trial. Who cares? And usually I would agree, because I do think, you know, we overanalyze celebrity culture and the celebrities' lives, and I'm not a fan of that, to be honest. I'm not a fan of that culture. But this trial is much bigger than it just being some kind of celebrity story. It's going to have a huge impact in society for victims, for false accusations, for the movements. This is huge. This is huge, and this is going to set a precedence for what's to come in the future. Irrespective of, you know, whether, no matter who you are, you could be a celebrity, you could be a corporate worker, you could be in any industry, but this type of situation is not exclusive to celebrities. You know, loads of people have been accused of things. False accusations happen all the time in every industry. So this is a big trial in that regard. It's a big trial in terms of society, and this is why I was hooked in. You know, this is why I was hooked into this trial. This is why I've been so invested, and really put in a lot of time, because it has a big say into where we go as a society. So this trial is not just a celebrity. It's not a celebrity trial. It's much bigger than that. It's huge, in fact. So yes. So am I nervous? Absolutely. And I will be nervous until we get the verdict. And then I don't know how I'm going to feel after that, because it depends on what way it goes. All right. So it's gonna be a tough few days, I reckon. I don't know. How do you guys feel though? And by the way, thank you for all your messages. Been very interesting reading through your thoughts, be it via email, or those of you who have messaged me on Instagram. I've read through most of your messages. Haven't been able to reply to all of you just yet, but I will do. I definitely will. Yeah, it's very interesting hearing your thoughts always, because it just sort of, you know, makes me realize just what is everybody thinking? You know, what is everybody thinking? Because at times I try and stay away from social media's opinions, what people are saying on social media, because it can be quite infuriating at times when I'm reading something silly, or there's misinformation at times, or there's a lot of gossip. And yeah, I just try and stay away from it, because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to feel anything more, because I'm already very, my emotions are up and down as it is, because I'm invested in the trial and the day's proceedings are enough for me. You know, watching 8 hours of court, at some days have been 8.5 hours, you know, where it starts at 9 in the morning, and you know, it finishes at 5:30. So it's like it's a really long day. And yeah, the last thing I need to do is hear somebody give their opinion about something and they've not even seen any of the trial. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I've seen a lot of that, by the way. There are some horrible opinions on social media. So anyway, I do tune into some opinions, but I don't really scroll through many opinions. So when I read your emails and your messages on Instagram, that's sort of me getting an insight into what people are thinking. And you know, a lot of you guys seem to be on the same page, in terms of you see it a similar way to the way I've seen it throughout this trial. Of course, there'll be the contrarians, and there'll be some people that I'm sure will be saying, no, you know, Amber's right. Amber's telling the truth. Yeah, I mean, no, I definitely don't see that at all. I mean, I've given Amber the benefit of the doubt throughout this trial. At many times I've said, I'm waiting for something, I'm waiting for something, I'm waiting for something. You know, that compelling piece of evidence, it never came. And even yesterday, with the closing arguments from Amber Heard's team, as I mentioned to you guys yesterday, I said I thought that they did a good job considering they have a very sketchy and unreliable client that they can't rely on for honesty, and they have a lack of evidence, really. They have very limited evidence, and they are stretching it out. You know, they're really stretching it out as far as they can. And it was clear, it was evident, and there was a lot of rambling as well, especially from Elaine. Like, you know, if we're going to compare Ben Rottenborn and Elaine, two of Amber Heard's lawyers, the ones that did the closing argument yesterday, I think Ben definitely was much more better. You know, Ben Rottenborn he gave a more concise argument. Again, a lot of things he said were rubbish. I thought he went below the belt when he would reference Johnny Depp's kids. I thought there was no need for that, because they've done that throughout the trial. Elaine has done it, Ben Rottenborn has done it, and Amber Heard has done it. They've always referenced Johnny Depp's kids constantly and used it in a way to sort of poke him. And I think for anyone, your kids are your weakness. You know, if somebody wants to agitate you or get under your skin, saying something about your kids or, you know, using them as a way to get to you, that is just it's too far, I think. There was no need for that. The kids have nothing to do with this trial. It's hard enough for them as it is, I'd imagine. The last thing they need is their names dragged in. And this is where I really have to credit, and it doesn't matter whose side you're on here, but you have to credit Johnny Depp and Johnny Depp's legal team, because not once have they used Amber Heard's kid as a weapon. They could have done. They could have done. They could have said a number of things that would have been, I would say, painful for Amber to listen to. I mentioned the other day, a few episodes ago, I said, I know it's probably a controversial thing to say and it might upset people, but I said, I'm worried about Amber Heard being a mother. I'm worried for that child, because the amount of unstableness that I've seen, the amount of unstable behavior I've seen from Amber Heard throughout this trial, the amount of evidence that we've got about Amber Heard and her character, it's alarming that that woman is raising a child. And I know that those are cold words, but that's just how I feel. And Johnny Depp's side could have easily used those arguments at times. Again, it wouldn't have made a difference to the trial, but it would have got under their skin. And that's what, because again, a lot of the time when they're referencing Johnny Depp's kids, that's not improving or benefiting their case, really. What it's doing is it's poking Johnny Depp and it's poking his team, and it's not right. But anyway, going back to what I was talking about initially, I felt that Ben did a good job. Ben Rottenborn did do a good job considering, you know, what he's working with, you know? So of course, you know, he did the best of a really, really botched case. But yeah, I said to you guys that I would look into what Ben Rottenborn's closing argument was, what Amber Heard's legal team put forward, along with Elaine, in today's episode, and that's what I'm gonna do. So let's begin. The thing that Ben Rottenborn sort of started with, and obviously you have to frame things in a certain way, you know, to get a powerful message across to the jury. He started with that if Johnny Depp, the claim that he was not abusive towards Amber Heard, that sends a message to survivors of domestic abuse everywhere. So he basically said, in trying to convince you that Mr. Depp has carried his burden of proof in proving that he was never abusive to Amber on even one occasion, think about the message that Mr. Depp and his attorneys are sending to Amber, and by extension, to every victim of domestic abuse everywhere. Yeah, I think Ben Rottenborn makes a good point, but I think he should reverse the name of Mr. Depp and Amber, because if Amber wins this case, what type of message does that send to the world and to every victim of domestic abuse? What type of message does that send if Amber wins? So yeah, he got the names muddled up there, I would say. No, again, he's trying to make the case, you know, of that. And that's what they're going to play on. They're going to play on that, you know, that, oh, you know, what kind of message does this send? And it's true, but it's true that if Amber wins, what kind of message does that send? Because with all that evidence, with all, and again, this is the problem with this trial. It's about technicalities, you know, it's about the defamation case. You know, it's not necessarily about Johnny Depp being able to prove that Amber Heard is an abuser. And I wish it was, because that way we would have a judgment, you know, a clear court assessment and a court verdict that says Amber Heard is an abuser, and that would be the nail in the coffin. Obviously, this trial isn't necessarily going to do that, but it's made that clear to all of us. And this is why the course of a public opinion does count for something. You know, it does count for something, because there would have been a lot of people, even before this trial, even though there was evidence out there before this trial, a lot of people have had probably not assessed it. And why would they? Of course, you know, they've probably gone by the headlines that say that Johnny Depp's an abuser. And so, you know, the fact that he's been able to tell his story is very important. But just to get, this is why this verdict is so important, because even though it's not technically linked to abuse, as in where Amber Heard would be condemned as an abuser by the court, if she loses, it goes a long way to saying that, you know? So, yeah. Sorry, Ben, but don't agree with you there on that one. So Ben then tried to frame some statements that Johnny Depp's side had previously put forward. They weren't all true, but he was basically trying to suggest that Amber was being proven to be some sort of crazy woman, some psycho woman that she's not. And he's saying that Johnny Depp's team is trying to frame her. And so these are the words he was trying to frame and use to the jury to try and prove his point. So he said, "If you didn't take the picture, it didn't happen. If you did take pictures, they're fake. If you didn't tell your friends, you're lying. If you did tell your friends, you're part of the hoax. If you didn't seek medical treatment, you weren't injured. If you did seek medical attention, you're crazy." So those were the words that Ben was trying to put forward to the jury. So he's basically trying to say that, oh, Johnny Depp's team is so wacky and crazy that they're saying, oh, if you didn't take a picture, it didn't happen. And if you did take pictures, they're fake. But here's the thing. Most, and I'm going to assess every part of those lines there. I'll start with the first one about the picture where he says, if you didn't take the picture, it didn't happen. If you did take pictures, they're fake. That's not exactly what Johnny Depp's team have done. You have to remember this. In a normal situation, nobody is going to tell a victim, hey, where are your pictures? Where's your proof? Where's your videos? Where are your audio recordings? Nobody does that in a day-to-day in day-to-day life. I wouldn't do that. But in this situation, considering Amber Heard documents everything, and this is from early in the relationship. Early in the relationship, she would take pictures of Johnny Depp falling asleep. She would take pictures of him just in general. She would take pictures of the house, just random wine spilled on the floor. She would take pictures of her so-called injuries, which didn't look like injuries at all. So, you know, she had a way of taking lots of pictures and documenting things that most people wouldn't document. Like, I have never taken a picture of anyone I've ever dated sleeping. I don't ever feel the need to do that. I'd like to believe that nobody's ever done that to me. So, you know, it's just not a normal thing to do unless you're trying to set someone up for something. And so this is why, considering Amber Heard takes a picture for everything, the question that's put to her, not just by by Johnny Depp's legal team, but even by us, the public, why do you not have any pictures of the times where Johnny Depp apparently beat you up to the point where, you know, you thought you were going to die with his rings on his hand? You would see the damage and your broken noses. Why do we never get to see that? Why do we never get to see your broken nose that was broken a number of times, according to Amber Heard? Why are there no pictures? So nobody's saying that to the ordinary victims. So no, if any victims are listening to this, nobody's ever going to say that to the ordinary victim that doesn't have a consistent behavior of documenting everything, because it's not a normal thing to do. You know, even people that are abused don't take pictures, and that's sad, but it's just not a thing they do. You can't document everything. It's not in everyone's nature. So again, he's trying to make the jury think, oh, look how evil Johnny Depp's team is. They're trying to look what they're doing to victims. But no, that's not the case. This is not for victims. This is for Amber Heard, who isn't a victim anyway. They're saying to her, you documented all these little things. Why do you not have any pictures? So again, Ben Rottenborn, he was trying to frame things really well. But again, he's doing the best he can, but he's wrong. He's just very wrong. He then went on to say that if you didn't tell your friends, you're lying. If you did tell your friends, you're part of the hoax. Again, nobody really accused Amber of not telling her friends. You know, not it wasn't it was it wasn't a big tactic that was used. And if you did tell your friends, you're part of the hoax. Well, you know, it does look like that way. You know, the way the things were set up, the way the wine was spilled on them, all these pictures were orchestrated. They don't look organic, and so that's a fair accusation. And you can deny that. You can deny that, but I just think those two statements don't even add up, really. You know, if you didn't tell your friend, you're lying. No, I don't think anyone was really saying that. So again, I think he's making up his own narratives and just using them against Johnny Depp's team. He then went on to say that if you didn't seek medical treatment, you weren't injured. If you did seek medical attention, you're crazy. Well, the last part's obviously a complete fabrication. It's just never, nobody ever said if you seek medical attention, you're crazy. I mean, who does that? Who, I mean, not just Johnny Depp's legal team, but whoever does that? If you break your nose and you go to see a doctor, is anyone going to call you crazy? It just doesn't happen. So again, none of these things actually happen. But the first part of that statement is true. If you didn't seek medical treatment, you weren't injured. Yeah. I think that was a fair thing that was labeled towards Amber, because Amber claims to have had a broken bottle inside her. Now, people have said all kinds of things. Women, obviously, are the best people to speak on this. But women, I saw this really funny tweet that somebody sent me, which said she said that she can feel if her man hasn't even cut his nails or if his nails are a bit too long. You know, that's how sensitive it is down there, which we all know. So I mean, come on, if you're gonna have a broken bottle inside of you, I mean, she claims that she doesn't even know if it's broken or not. That's a load of rubbish. But was this bottle even inside of you? Well, you know, I think if a bottle was inside of you, and we're not talking any bottle here. You know, we're not talking a little small beer bottle. We're talking a vodka bottle. We're talking about a vodka bottle. So yeah, I mean, you probably would need medical treatment. I'm sure I'm not out of line for saying that. I'm sure most of you guys would back me up on that. You need medical treatment, right? If you're getting a bottle put in, if you're getting raped by a vodka bottle, you would need medical treatment. You know, you wouldn't just go to sleep. I think that's the last thing you would do. In fact, you would stay up all night. If you wouldn't seek medical treatment, you certainly would be up all night, I'd imagine. I don't speak with experience, of course, but I'm sure you guys can back me up that. Yeah, anyway, I don't need to be too graphic on that. But again, that's the bottom line. Like, so everything that Ben Rottenborn tried to put out there, it sounds great. Like, you know, if you're just listening to that as a dialogue, as a monologue, you're like, yeah, that sounds good. But actually, it doesn't make sense. Even in general, some of it doesn't make sense. But especially in line with his trial, it doesn't add up at all. And you know, speaking about her friends, I mean, her friends, none of her friends came to court. Let's not forget that. You know, none of her friends came to court to testify for her. And the only person that came to testify for her was her sister. And that's revealing because, again, if one of my friends was violently abused, violently assaulted, male or female, I would be there for them. I would go to court and testify for them and tell them what I was told and back it up. If Amber Heard is telling the truth about all these horrific allegations, which obviously, if they're true, they are horrific, but they're just not true because there's no evidence to back anything she said up, why are her friends? Or her ex-friends, some of them aren't even friends with her anymore. But why is no one coming to back her up? Even her makeup artist, nobody wants to come into court and speak for her apart from her sister. And that's not because they're fearful of anything, you know, because if anyone's used scare tactics in this trial, it's Amber Heard and her friends. They've used the scare tactics, you know, they've actually done a lot, and I'm sure there's a criminal investigation that will happen. So I don't need to go too in depth on that. But if anyone's done any dirty business outside of court, it's their team and their people and people that represent Amber Heard. So I think it's completely unlikely that they were fearful of Johnny Depp or anything, because that you can't use that argument. And you'd have protection anyway. But at the end of the day, nobody came and thought, and do you know what? Even if I was scared of somebody, I don't care. I would try and seek justice for my friend that was raped by a vodka bottle. That was beaten up repeatedly, that was living this horrible life, which Amber Heard was not living. But anyway, hypothetically speaking, if that was my friend, I would be there. So it just means that no one really believes her. That's the bottom line, right? Because I don't think there's a single friend out there that wouldn't do that for their friend, especially if they knew all this. Or most friends would. Maybe not everyone, but most friends would. And yeah, you know, I think they were trying too hard. He then went on to say and frame more things, and he says, if you did everything that you can to help your spouse, the person that you love, rid himself of the crushing drug and alcohol abuse that spins him into his abusive, rage-filled monster, you're a nag. And if you finally decided that enough is enough, you've had enough of the fear and enough of the pain, and you have to leave to save yourself, you're a gold digger. That is the message that Mr. Depp is asking you to send. And I mean, again, he couldn't be more wrong. Again, I respect what he's doing, though. I respect how he's trying to frame it. And this is why I said he did a good job in that regard. He didn't do a good job with telling the truth as such, but he did the best job he could for Amber. Because, again, you know, these things just don't add up. I mean, abusive, rage-filled monster. You know, I would consider believing that if there was a shred of evidence of that. But in this trial, they've provided nothing. When you listen to the hours of audio recordings, not a single one, in not one of them do you hear an abusive, rage-filled monster. The worst you hear is Johnny Depp call her the C word. You know, the C word being cunt. You know, I just feel, I know that that's a word that a lot of people don't like. So when even though I'm not even using it myself, I'm referencing it. I was hesitant there. I was like, I'll say the C word, and then I was like, no, I'm just gonna reference it. So yeah, if that offends someone or triggers someone or whatever, I do apologize. But the word cunt was used a lot in this trial. But that's literally the worst thing he kind of says. And do you know what? They played like a 3 second clip of Johnny calling Amber a cunt. Here's the difference between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's team. Johnny Depp's team played quite a substantial amount of recordings of Amber abusing Johnny Depp, admitting to being abusive towards him, admitting to punching him, and they played a clip where Amber admits to punching him, you know, and one where she claims that she didn't punch him, she hit him. So there's so much evidence there, right? All Amber Heard's team could do is play a clip where Johnny Depp says, "Because you're a cunt," and I think, you know, is that the best you can do? Like, really, you know, like that, is that the best? And they obviously went on to play a video, the infamous cabinet video, which I'll come on to in a second. But yeah, I just think, again, like, you know, you're not proving anything. Like, it was so, it was, I, this is why I kind of had a bit of sympathy for them yesterday, though, you know. That's why I felt like I needed to praise Ben Rottenborn yesterday on the podcast, because I had sympathy for what he was trying to do. It's just that he's just lying, and sadly, it's not his fault. He's just working with a very, very difficult client. This episode is sponsored by Let's Think Happy. Let's Think Happy is a brilliant website that offers a free questionnaire that's created by a licensed therapist. The questionnaire allows you to find out what exact therapy you need. Right now, people are just placed in whichever therapy is available at the time, as opposed to the therapy that would benefit them the most. People aren't getting the help they need, and because of this, they just get stuck in their struggle with mental health. And if you're really serious about your mental health, you're going to want to buy your full results for $7.99. Your results will include three things. First, a professional will help you find a therapist. Second, you'll find out whether your answers have indicated a mental health condition, such as anxiety disorder, depression, bipolar disorder, PTSD, or ADHD. And last but not least, they will send you six therapeutic PDF books. Plus, if you get it today and use code LTH20, you'll also get 20% off your full results. The link and code is in the description box of this episode. Don't stay stuck being depressed or anxious all the time. Go to letsthinkhappy.com and take the free questionnaire. Now, let's get back to the Virginia Truth. There was something that Ben Rottenborn completely, continuously played on. And he mentioned this like 20,000 times. Like, he made it very clear for the jury. He said, if Amber Heard was abused by Mr. Depp even one time, then she wins. Even one time. He kept referencing that. Even one time, then she wins. One time. And we're not just talking about physical abuse. We're talking about emotional abuse, psychological abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse. Well, there's, out of all those four things that he mentioned there, or five rather, physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, financial abuse, and sexual abuse, I can tell you that four of them Amber Heard is guilty of. You know, and there's actually substantial evidence to prove that. The only one that I wouldn't add into that is sexual abuse, because I don't believe there's any accusations or evidence of that from Amber towards Johnny. But the other four are very, very true for Amber, that she's done to Johnny. She's physically abused him, she's emotionally abused him, she's psychologically abused him, and she financially abused him. So yeah, I think again, Ben Rottenborn, he speaks a good argument, but he's just speaking for the wrong person. But again, he kept emphasizing the one time thing, the one time, even if he did it one time. Again, that tells you that's a big sign, that's a big red flag, and I'll tell you why. Camille Vasquez made a great point yesterday where she said, if Johnny Depp hit Amber Heard once, it's not a case of hitting her once. Either he hit her every time she claims, or he never hit her, because it's not a pick and mix situation. It's not that, oh, Amber Heard is telling two truths and two lies. It just can't be the case. She can't be lying about one time she was abused and telling the truth about another, because that's not how it would work. Either she's telling the complete truth and Johnny was a monster and he did abuse her multiple times, or he never abused her. But what Ben Rottenborn is trying to do is he's trying to say, look, Amber Heard has, he didn't say this, of course. I'm speaking, I'm going into his mind, and he's basically saying Amber Heard has thrown out multiple other allegations, and just try and believe one, because that's all you've got to do. Forget about all of them, because some of them sound like a load of rubbish, because they are. But hey, if you can just believe one, that's okay, because then we win. Because that's true. Like, of course, if they just believe one allegation, then she does indeed win. But again, it doesn't make sense to believe one out of four allegations, or even one out of two allegations, even if it's a 50% rate, because at the end of the day, it just doesn't work that way. Either it all happened or none of it happened. Otherwise it doesn't add up. So again, I thought that was very revealing that they played on the whole fact that even if she's just if she was abused once, because that's trying to get into the jury's mind, and it sounds a bit more like, oh well, yeah, maybe if she's saying she got abused all these times, maybe one of them has to be true. But again, that's not how it works, and I'm glad Camille made a point of that. And again, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, that the cabinet video was played for the 2000th time in this bloody court case. I mean, I was like, why? What was that? Doesn't even prove a great deal. I've said this before. I've said this before that the cabinet video doesn't. I mean, first of all, and I'm gonna do an episode of this where I talk about TMZ and the part they played with that cabinet video, because it was a very powerful testimony from a former employee of TMZ, of which where the video was leaked, that video of Johnny slamming the kitchen cabinets. Yeah, that was a very powerful testimony. So yeah, I'll be talking about that in a future episode. But what I will say is, so that was brought up again, that particular clip where he's slamming the cabinets. We've all seen it. It's very old. Yeah, that was brought up. And again, that doesn't prove anything. That all that proves is that Amber Heard was comfortable enough to set up a video, not even in private, but in sort of clear sight. I mean, of course, she wasn't caught. She was caught out eventually, but she was goading him in that clip. She wasn't a fearful victim. She was goading him. She was poking at him. She wanted a reaction. And you know something? People don't talk about the fact that we don't know the context of that situation. So Amber Heard does. Amber Heard knows what was happening before that clip. So she knows why Johnny's angry. She knows why he's angry. Okay? This is what is making me makes me more furious, is that she knows why he's angry. And she's thought, perfect. Perfect. So I'm gonna set up a video camera and then I'm gonna poke at him. So she sets up the video camera and then she goes, "What happened? What happened? You were so sweet this morning. I just got up and I said hi, and you were so nice." Like, that is poking someone. Like, that is so inf you would not think that telling someone you were so nice would anger them. But when you're pissed, when you're angry, you don't want to hear anything. That would poke me. That would get to me. So yeah, that brings me to the point that she knew what she was doing. She was setting him up. She wasn't a fearful victim. If she was a fearful person, she would be quiet. She would be quiet. I've been around people that slam cabinets sometimes, okay? And they're not bad people at all. They're lovely people. But they have, we all have moments where we slam things. And I remember specific instances where I'm like, yeah, that person's pissed. I'm not gonna bother. I'm just gonna be quiet for a bit. I'll let them vent it out and then I'll speak to them. 'Cause I understand that by me speaking to them in that moment, I'm only gonna make them more angrier. And you know what's revealing in that as well? That even though Johnny is clearly angry about something, he's clearly very angry, not once does he even attempt to go for Amber Heard. A, he doesn't abuse her, let alone physically. Physically, he doesn't even come close to abusing her. But he doesn't even go at her. He doesn't even swear at her or anything in that clip. He just says, "Did something happen to you this morning? I didn't think so." And then he just goes off, you know, with his cup, and then he puts the camera in the bin. That's when he pours his mega pint, the infamous mega pint, the mega pint of wine, that is. But yeah, again, so like that video doesn't actually reveal what Amber Heard wants it to. But I will tell you one thing, and it's a revelation that I don't like making. But you know, I saw that clip when it first came out, and that was when it was with the picture of Amber Heard being with the bruise and stuff. And this was in 2016, and I did believe it at that time because it was like, oh, you know, she's got a bruise on her face, and oh, look, Johnny slams cabinets. He must be a bad guy. And doesn't that highlight that how powerful the media is? Like, you know, the media is very controlling, and it controls the narrative of so many things. Yes, this Johnny Depp situation is one thing, and the media's been terrible with it, the majority of the media. But it happened before, whether we're talking about COVID, whether we're talking about certain where the media is flaming more fuel to the fire of racial tension. You know, the media plays a big part in all of this, and we're all the victims. And as I've said many times, and this is partly why I became so embroiled in this case from early on, and why I felt emotional about it, was because I remember believing Amber initially, and I remember seeing that video, and I remember seeing the picture of the bruise, and to now find out that it was all a lie, and how, and now I'm being able to look into everything. Obviously, ever since the evidence was presented in court, going through all the documents and the pictures and the stories and the witnesses, I was like, we've all been played. We've all been played at that time. I mean, I realized a few years later that it was a load of rubbish, and then this trial has obviously brought everything into the open. But that's what made me think, damn, you know, we fell for it. We fell for it. And how dangerous is that? How dangerous is it that somebody could do that? Yes, I blame the media just now, but also let's not forget who started it all. It's Amber Heard. So that's so dangerous. And yeah, that video doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove anything. And again, they constantly played on the fact that, oh, when Johnny Depp, when he mixes the drugs and when he mixes the drink, he turns into this man. Again, they're stigmatizing people that take drugs and alcoholics and addicts in general. Look, people that are addicts, they don't choose to be addicts, first of all. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not all bad people. Most of them aren't bad people. They're just addicted to something. That doesn't mean that they're going to go beat up their partner. So they constantly play on the fact that, oh yeah, he liked drugs, he liked alcohol. That's really bad, because we've already had this stereotype for decades of people that drink must be violent. No, it's just not true. Most people aren't. A lot of people aren't. I mean, I don't know about most, but a lot of people aren't violent. The majority of the people I know, they're great when they're drunk. You know, wish they were drunk more often, to be honest, some of the people I know. But no, you know, most people aren't gonna abuse someone. Of course, it happens, by the way. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It happens a lot as well. It happens more than it should. People that drink alcohol do tend to get aggressive. I've seen that side of it as well. Especially when you're out sometimes and you see people that think they're 10 feet tall just because they've had a drink. And you've got to put them back a peg or two, you know, to let them know their place. But, you know, so I'm not saying you don't get angry, but all I'm saying is that stigma of, oh, you know, he's an addict. That's why he was mean. That doesn't make sense, because not all addicts are like that, you know. There's homeless people out there, homeless people that sadly are homeless because they became addicts. That you know, some people that they just life just goes that way for them. It's very sad. But I remember once seeing a clip of a homeless man helping a woman that was being sexually assaulted. I can't remember, it's from America somewhere, and I remember seeing that. And so that again highlights, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty more references like that are similar to that story, but I just remember seeing one specific story. So it highlights that just because you're an addict doesn't mean you condone a violence towards women or anyone. It doesn't mean that at all. So I just thought that stigma was just unnecessary, you know. They went too far with that, in my opinion, constantly doing that. And you know, Ben Rottenborn is giving it the big old, oh, you know, if Johnny Depp wins his case, what does that say for domestic violence victims? No, hell no. What does that say if Amber Heard wins? If I'm that's what I'm worried about, guys. You know, that's why I say I'm nervous, because I just think that if Amber Heard wins, what does that say? What does that say for society? How much confidence will that give other people who wish to do the same? You know, and yeah, again, that's another episode that I will be doing. to reflect on, because it does require a lot of reflection. There are going to be serious implications. So yeah, and again, the only thing that Johnny Depp's Amber Heard's team have towards Johnny at times is the text messages. You know, there's some horrific, there's a couple of horrific text messages, and there's obviously the one where he says that, you know, he hopes that Amber Heard's corpse is rotting in the trunk of a car and all that stuff, the Honda Civic, famously. But look, now those text messages, they're not nice. You know, they're not something that you should really be saying. But here's the thing, that was not even towards Amber, first of all. So a lot of the time when he was using this language, he wasn't saying it to Amber. Secondly, this guy was in an abusive relationship, and I know people that have been in abusive relationships, and I know the way they talk about their partner. And that doesn't mean that they will ever hurt their partner. In fact, far from it. But that's their way of expressing themselves to their friend that, man, you know, I'm just dealing with so much crap right now. Again, I'm not defending Johnny Depp on that, the text messages. All I'm saying is it happens, and I don't think that should mean, oh, he's an abuser. That doesn't mean that. Because there's one thing doing text messages, and there's another thing physically punching someone and abusing someone and saying things to them directly. So these text messages, they were never to Amber Heard anyway. So again, it baffles me that people think that that's a valid argument, or you know, that's a valid piece of evidence. It's not. It was never to Amber Heard. Even if it was to Amber Heard, I wouldn't say Johnny Depp's guilty. But the fact that it's not means it's just completely irrelevant. But that's the best they can do, you know. But he then went on to say, you know, referencing those text messages, he was like, "These words are the window into the heart and mind of of America's favorite pirate. This is the real Johnny Depp." It's just absurd, because it doesn't prove anything. What a text message. And we all know Johnny's got an interesting sense of humor. We've seen that throughout the trial. You know, that was referenced by Camille. Again, I'm not saying I condone it. I don't speak that way. I don't speak about I don't send text messages like Johnny Depp. But at the same time, everyone text messages differently, everyone speaks differently, everyone's sense of humor is different. And again, not condoning what Johnny did, even if I condemn Johnny Depp's messages right now, which I will say that I don't approve of the language as such, but it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't affect the fact that he was abused by Amber Heard, and he did not abuse Amber Heard. He was abused by her. The text messages don't change that. Nobody's perfect, and not once has Johnny Depp tried to paint himself as the perfect guy. He's flawed, I'm flawed, we're all flawed. But some of us are more flawed than others, and I think Amber Heard falls into the category of more flawed than others. So yeah, you know, and he just went on to say, finally, and thank God it was finally, he went on to say that a ruling against Amber here sends a message that no matter what you do as an abuse victim, you always have to do more. No matter what you document, you always have to document more. That's not true. You just have to document enough. You just have to document enough, I guess. I mean, I would also say that you don't have to document anything, because if you're telling the truth, it tells, it shows. Like, for example, I was listening to Jeffrey Epstein's victims. I didn't for a second think, oh, they're lying, or that I didn't need to see evidence. I believed them. So, because their story was just believable. The way they spoke was believable. You know, so I didn't need to think, oh, you know, are they telling the truth? I don't know. But I just remember listening to one particular person. I can't remember her name. I can't remember the name of the woman, but obviously there's a number of victims. But the point is that, you know, I didn't think, oh, she's lying. I didn't think I need to see proof. But when Amber Heard is coming out with these wild accusations and she documents everything, yes, we do need to see documents or proof, because you document everything else, but you don't seem to document the times when you actually do get abused. So yeah, so Ben Rottenborn's, I will twist Ben Rottenborn's words here, and I will end this on my notes. And my note is, a ruling against Johnny Depp here sends a message that no matter what you do as an abuse victim, you always have to do more. No matter what you document, you have to always document more, because we have so many audio recordings, we have so much evidence, we have so many witnesses. If that's not enough to condemn Amber Heard, I don't know what is. And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Virginia Truth with me, Knackle. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you will join me for the next episode. Until then, take care, and don't believe everything the media tells you. Goodbye.